Welcome to this segment of your show. Like I said in the introduction, we have a very interesting story for you today. It's the story of our brother, Tabiso Moketi. He's known in South Africa by many who knew him from generations as an actor. He's still an actor, by the way.
Yes, that's always one, be.
It's always been so many productions, but in recent times, he's been trending on social media and at least in South Africa, I guess around this region.
Even in Jamaica,
you see, it's just, you came to my attention because of that. You're one of our members or people who know about it. Said, look, this is happening. It's everywhere. And we went to check in and we were fascinated to hear the journey of a man who was a Sangoma claiming now that, look, Jesus is Lord, and this is why I went into Sangoma, and this is why I came out of it, and this is what I've learned about what it means to mix Christianity and try to mix it with this ancestral worship thing. So let's dive into this.
Sorry.
How did you become a Sangoma?
That one, through a series of unfortunate events. I grew up as a Christian.
Yes. Just help us, for those who don't know what Sangoma is. They might be watching from Ghana or somewhere. Just put it in context.
A Sangoma is a South African term for a traditional doctor, what in English is also known as a witch doctor, a medium that consults with ancestors and is a healer. I use healer in inverted commas, and I will be able to explain that in deeper detail.
As you go on, okay.
Yes, I became a born-again Christian at the age of 21. I had met Jesus Christ through my mother in my teens, but I did not have a personal relationship with him. But at the age of 21, after suffering from drug addiction and being a criminal and just being lost in the township, I met Jesus Christ when I was in rehab. In that rehab center, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ introduced himself to me, and then he introduced me to the gifts that I have today. Communication, acting, presenting. I didn't go to school for these things. When I became born again, the Lord said I should write down my dreams and he will help me to achieve them as I follow him. I did that, Brother Jim, and then I became one of the most successful actors in the continent, even starring in Generations, which has the biggest viewership in Africa and stretches all the way to Jamaica and other places. I did really well when I was working on Generations. I even managed to get married to a beautiful wife who had lovely children, moved out of the township, moved into the suburbs. My life improved a lot. However, a time came when I started losing things. The same blessings that I had achieved, which made my life better, one by one, they were stripped off me. My job, I lost it. I started losing my finances, my cars, my friends. And along those lines also, I started losing family members. My father passed away, my mother passed away, my younger brother passed away with my mom in a car accident. And then my older brother also passed away in 2021. And when my older brother passed away, during that period of trying to deal with that grief, my wife also filed for divorce. And I found myself coming from a family of seven, very happy family, to losing that family, the one I was born into, because I had to bury all of them when the Lord remembered them. I then held on to my wife and my children tighter than I should have, I should say. I put my identity in my marriage. And when that marriage slipped away from me, I became disillusioned and angry with God. And then I started counting to God that, how can you give me a job, then you take it away? How can you make me taste wealth, and then you take it away? How can you give me family, then you take it away? But I never waited for the answers. I was accusing towards God, and I was angry and bitter. I now realize in hindsight that the devil works that way. When we become disillusioned with God and we move away from him, we give the enemy a chance to speak to us. And speak to me, the enemy did. As a born-again Christian, I stopped going to church. I started drinking. I started smoking even more. And I became depressed, even though I didn't realize it. But the worst thing that I could have done, Brother Chen, was move away from God. I was angry that the blessings were taken away. In hindsight, I realized that these blessings had become more important to me than the one who had blessed me in the first place. See, for as long as I had my wife, I was a good Christian. For as long as I had my good job, I was a good Christian. But once my faith was tested, I turned away from God. And as an African, here in South Africa, like I said, there's a culture of Ubusangoma, a witch doctor. And then I had people who would come to me, especially during the divorce and my brother passing away, because those two things happened at the same time. And people would say to me, Tebiso, you see, you've already lost your entire family, and now you've lost your wife. You are unemployed. You are actually a shadow of yourself. Can't you see that the ancestors are punishing you? Because people knew that I am a Christian, a born-again Christian, who wanted nothing to do with any other God or ancestor, you know? And some family members would also say to me, you need to come with us to Esangoma just to check what's happening with your life. And you need to appease your ancestors. Now, because I was no longer listening to God, because I was no longer reading my Bible, I started thinking, maybe this is true. Maybe my ancestors have turned their back on me because I have never slaughtered for them. I have never burnt incense towards them. And this could be my punishment. And I then started doing something I had never done before. I went to go buy incense. I had to, and then I was taught also you use snuff, you use candles, and these are tools that you use to communicate with your ancestors. I then started pleading with my ancestors instead of pleading with God. And I asked them to save me. I'm like, I'm in a dark place. I'm sorry for turning my back. I was apologizing to the dead. I was crying and weeping because I literally didn't have anybody physically next to me who could I could cry on. I was grieving for my parents. I was grieving for my marriage. I was grieving my old life. And I thought the ancestors could help me. But what I did by doing that is I opened a portal, because now it's not the Holy Spirit that was leading me anymore. I started hearing voices. Spirits were guiding me. I would hear drums in my sleep. I would be woken up sweating, and a voice would tell me that the drums are coming from the ground and I need to lie down and listen to them. And Brother Chim, it sounds strange, but I would follow that because I was desperate, because earlier on, I had created a ritual of speaking to my ancestors. So I was aware that they will speak back at some point. And they started speaking back. I now was lying on the ground, listening to the drum beat. And it was the drum beat of Sangomas. And I would then go into a spiritual trance. And in that trance, I would then see a circle of my ancestors. And how I knew it was my ancestors, I would see my parents, whom I knew. I would see some of my brothers. And then there were elders along the circle, others I didn't know. But as I was watching them, I realized that they are family members. And they were having a meeting about me. And I would wake up from that trance, sweating, but I would feel closer to them. And so what that led me to do is to perform more rituals. Now I wanted to slaughter a chicken in order to appease them, give them this, give them that. Fast forward, after a couple of months of engaging in ancestral worship, I was then led by a spirit to say, I need to go to the ocean, because in the ocean there's something called Inkanyamba, mummy water as it's known in other nations, and that she wants a relationship with me and wants to bond with me. And she has heard my cry. And if I go and perform a ritual by the ocean, she will be able not only to give back my luck, she will cleanse me of the bad luck, what's called isinyama, a dark cloud. And she'll be able to guide me on where to go forward. I then went to the ocean. I performed that ritual. Brother Chim, after performing the ritual, as I was then instructed to walk away, I was directed to a certain grandmother. And I was told that she would teach me how to be a Sangoma, because I actually have a calling, and the calling is to be a healer, I was told. And I was told that I will block the misfortune that has happened to me by giving myself completely to ancestors. I followed this voice, Brother Chim, and this lady was described to me. I was even told the clothes that she was wearing. And truly, I found her. I kneeled before her the same way I used to kneel before God. I was in awe that these spirits that had led me all the way to Durban and KZN, are now leading me to a lady who's going to be a gobela, a teacher that teaches one how to be a sangoma. Mm. I knelt before this lady.
Which area of Durban was this?
I met this lady at Durban CBD by the ocean, but then her home was Gwandengezi in Rockdale, close to Pinetown. Mm. I knelt before her and told her that the ancestors, Inkosazana, Mami Water, has said that you should teach me how to be a sangoma. But before we even start, Mami Water said you must put white beads on me to mark me. And I was told that the white beads symbolize purity because I had been covered with so much darkness. Mm. And she told me that she does have white beads for me, and that it's her daughter, though, who will train me into becoming a sangoma, because she is too old and has given her daughter Ikwama, the bags. And then I was then told to go back to Johannesburg, and at my house, at the same place where I patla, which is to communicate with my ancestors, I should now communicate with my ancestors and tell them that I have found this woman that you have sent me to. I'm now asking your permission to go and twasa and be initiated into being a sangoma. Mm. I went home to Johannesburg, I performed that ritual. I then called my three children and I told them that Daddy is now going to become a sangoma. I'm going away for a few months and this is what I'm going to do. And they were really shocked. How Daddy? Because they knew me as a Christian. Mm. My children, their names are Tabisa Morena, Zion Mohet, you know, which means may God help you. You know, they grew up in a Christian family.
And that's how you've raised them.
That's how I raised them. But now I was moving the other side of things. And I told them, listen, you've seen what's happened in my life. Sometimes I can't even afford to buy you food. Mm. There's a dark cloud that's hanging. And the reason is because I haven't been appeasing the ancestors. Mm. So I need to do this also for you. Because another thing I was told is that if I don't do this, Brother Chim, my children, I could lose them. Mm. I was told that I could lose my life.
And this was the last thing remaining for you.
That's the one I was holding on to. So I went into this because of fear. I went into this because of desperation. Mm. And most importantly, because I had moved away from my God. Mm. And my children supported me. There was nothing they could do. I mean, I'm their father. Mm. I then went back to KZN, Gwandengezi in Rockdale. I then began my initiation process there. And I used to stay in a hut. And the first thing they did when I came in, they introduced me to their ancestors. It's called Ubigwa Elozini, which means to be introduced to the deities that rule the oracle's house. And once they had done that, I was then instructed to speak my forefathers' names, Itagazeno, you know, to say this one birth, and call and summon them to also join part with these deities and lead me in this path. When that happened, there's a spirit that took over me. I shook violently, and the spirit really started speaking through me and instructing the gobela what kind of rituals she must add on to what she already knows in order to appease my ancestors and have them become part of this ritual. I was then immediately into the initiation. From 3 a.m. in the morning, I would wake up, go outside. I was bathing in muti. I was drinking muti. I had something
called... What is charms?
Charms, yes, charms. Mm. And I was using charms to connect to the ancestors of the local deity, to connect to my ancestors. And these rituals were evoking a spirit in me. And the funny thing is, the more spirits came, is the more that I felt it is working. Mm. Because it was beyond my control. And they would speak things that unbeknown to me. I remember one day I was sleeping and I had a dream where my great-grandmother had woken me up and started walking with me in Rockdale and took me, because Rockdale is a beautiful place. It's got a river, it's got mountains, wonderful scenery. And I had never been there before. But I was woken up in a dream and my great-grandmother walked me to a certain place and said there's a cliff and showed me a cliff. And along the cliff, she showed me a certain plant and told me that this plant is used for healing in this and that manner. Mm. And I should take it, share it with Gobela, who's my sangoma teacher, and keep some of it for myself. Truly, in the morning when I woke up, I followed that voice because I wanted to see, will I actually find this thing? and I really found it in a place I had never been. That strengthened my belief in what I was doing. I truly felt that this healing that I'm looking for is going to come. I came back with it, and Mama didn't know this plant. I told her how it should be used. And so I tell you to say, sometimes people think we make these things up or sangomas are liars. But the truth of the matter is there are two opposing forces. There's a dark force and there's a light force. There's God's spirit and there are spirits. Mm. I was now being led by spirits. Mm. And it looked as if... Evil spirits. And it looked as if they were leading me to my hell. But they were actually imprisoning me. Because I later discovered that by servicing them, I am moving away from the presence of God.
So what you're... And I want you to continue your story. But I want to say that what you're trying to say there is that many times people say, well... maybe it doesn't work, or some other people are convinced because it works. And so, like, if it works, there are things, spiritual things going on. And you're saying, yes, there are spiritual powers going on. Only these are evil spirits.
Yes.
So it's possible to encounter evil spirits and actually get some results.
It is.
You will hear voices, they will interact with you.
They will show you
things that, informations that nobody could have told you.
Yes.
Please go on.
The same way they led me to a lady I had never met. Mm. And true, she really did have Ndumba. She really did have the beads. Mm. And those spirits, in African custom, and mainly in South Africa, they're called ancestors. Because when these spirits come, they come in the form of a loved one who has passed away. Mm. But it's not actually our loved ones. The Bible tells us that life and death do not mix. Mm. And the dead are not part of this life.
So they take up that, like the way you wear a cloth. They come
in
that.
It's a disguise.
To show you as this is your father that died or your great-great father that died.
Yes.
Okay.
The truth is that when the devil left heaven or was kicked out of heaven, he didn't leave alone. He had convinced some of God's angels to be with him. And it's these fallen angels who are actually demons who have the ability to familiarize themselves with life. Mm. And they familiarize themselves with us and what we need. Mm. And then they're able to present themselves as a family member. Because if they had to show themselves as they are, nobody would listen to them. You see, Africans are lost, not because they want to be lost. Like in the Garden of Eden, most of us were deceived. Because we really need healing. We really need love. We really need finances and all these things. And these demons disguise themselves, like the Bible says, as an angel of light. And they offer solutions. But when we follow them, thinking we are following our ancestors, I even saw my mother at some point, who was a born-again Christian. By the way, but I was so happy to see this woman again because I was grieving her and I would do anything she tells me. Even going to Ndengezi was part of something that my mother had told me in a dream. But that was not my mother. That was a fallen angel known as a demon who had disguised himself as my mother.
The Bible calls them familiar spirits.
And that term
they take terms, forms of people who are you are used to because they've studied them very well.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
And this familiar spirit led me astray. And I believed I was servicing my mother. I believed I was servicing my great-grandparents.
Your ancestors.
And my ancestors. But the moment I went on my knees and lit incense in order to communicate with the dead, I was already out of the will of God. Number one, as a child of God, as a born-again Christian, as a son of God, I should only bow to God and only God. But the first thing I did when I saw the gogo who was going to teach me how to be a sangoma, I felt relief. I fell on my knees. That was worship. That was me worshiping a human being. And already I was out of the will of God. By me speaking to the dead, I was out of the will of God. And I was inviting these spirits to speak more. And that's why I could sense them more. And that's why they could speak to me more. Because whatever you focus on, you magnify. I was now focused on these spirits, having been deceived that they are my ancestors, like most Africans that believe in them. But the Lord revealed it to me because he told me that my salvation is not just for me, but it's for the nations. The Bible teaches us that my people perish for lack of knowledge, God says. And when I was in that place, I grew huge in a very short space of time. I was having dreams and visions. I was able to heal people's problems. But
so there was so much coming in from the spirits to you.
From the evil spirits.
To you.
To me.
Just increasing your power.
Increasing my power, my knowledge.
So
my...
you had become a Sangoma at this stage?
Yes.
So at this stage, the power was on you now?
The power was on me. And now there was a point, Brother Chim, where it's called Ugufa, to die unto self and to live for the ancestors. Mm. And that's the part of the ritual where you have learned as much as you can about herbs, about bones, and it's clear that your gift has come alive, and now you must seal the bond. And how it's sealed is, they take a goat, and they slaughter it, but they don't actually kill it. They just do an opening on the throat, so that the blood comes out. The initiate will then kneel and drink the blood of the goat. And as the goat is dying, the initiate takes that spirit and drinks that blood. And then they will take the goat and mount it upon them and parade around. Shortly before I could reach that ceremony, one night I was sleeping in the hut, and the Kobela and another Gogo were sleeping next to me. And there was this other gentleman who was next to me, and we were sleeping in one room. And I fell into a deep sleep. In that sleep, the Lord came to me. I could recognize that it's the Lord, because as I had been a born-again Christian before, I know that when the presence of God would come over me, I would feel peace. I would feel love. And there's a glorious light that I cannot explain, but a transfiguration of sorts. And that same light came, and I hadn't felt it in a long time, because I was surrounded by so much darkness. The only spirits that were taking over me at that time would make me shake, dance, burp, and speak in heavy voices that were not even my own. But this dream was so gentle. This dream was so calming. And the voice that came said, "Tabiso, my son, is this where you are? I have not brought you to this place. And the ritual that is waiting for you, that blood sacrifice, is not part of my mission for you." The voice also told me that, I love that, the voice, not voices. And then the voice also told me that if I carry on with this ritual, I will not find him, said God, at the other end of it. He said, if I carry on with this ritual, I will be making a blood oath which testifies that the blood of Jesus was not enough. And this goat is now my God. I could not shake that dream. But what happened is, the Lord also allowed me to see myself beyond that. If I do take this, what would happen? I saw cars. I saw money. I saw a lot of people lining up.
If you take that step to become the Sangoma,
if I take the step to become a Sangoma, wealth would come. But then the Lord also showed me the behind the scenes, that I was now a prisoner of these spirits. And I would graduate from becoming a healer to becoming a witch doctor, to becoming a witch, a full-blown witch. Most Sangomas become a Sangoma because they need healing themselves, and they are promised the gift of healing. But the funny thing about these practices, most of them actually become workers of iniquity. When somebody comes to them and says, "I want to kill so-and-so because I want their job," they are able to give them that motive. When another person comes and says, "I want to end this marriage because I want to take that wife or take that husband," they break the marriage of God. The question is, how can healing, how can blessings and curses come from the same
source?
They cannot.
The same tap.
They cannot. And I forgot to tell you something. My left leg, which by God's grace is healed, was the first time I went to consult a Sangoma, because the doctors couldn't heal it, apparently. But it's not that the doctors couldn't heal it. I was too impatient. I wanted something that would work now. I remember even the day before I went to visit the Sangoma, I told God, I said that, because I still believed in him, but I was angry. So I was no longer praying. I was no longer submitting
to God.
This
was before all the initiations to become a Sangoma.
Before all these initiations, how it began, I went to consult. You see, the reason why God said we mustn't go and consult Sangomas, why we mustn't speak to the dead,
okay,
is because he knows that by so doing, we open a portal for the devil to be able to have access to us. So I went into a Ndumbe, which is the shrine of healing, to get healing for my leg. I was then told that this leg, I had been bewitched. I was told who had bewitched me. I was then even asked, do I want to send this sickness back to
the person?
Do I want to punish
them? Don't we hear that kind of preaching in some churches? Back to sender.
Back to sender.
People say that, and the spirit behind that is not the spirit of God. I heard it from a person who was going to heal me.
Mm.
And I had said, no, don't do that. All I want is healing. Can I just be healed?
Mm.
And yes, they gave me medicine. They took me to the rivers to wash.
Mm.
But here's the thing. When we got to that river, because they had said a dark cloud was over me, before the Sangoma could wash me, he threw coins into the water and started inviting the owner of the water, the mummy water, Inkosazana, Inkanyama, the dragon, Udrago, and respectfully, as if he was speaking to God, started asking for permission to cleanse me in this river and put me in the river as if it was a baptism. But the Lord revealed something to me. If it was just pure water, it would be something. But the moment they evoked a spirit, the moment he evoked a deity, the moment he took coins, which is treasure. Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart is too. Hallelujah.
So it was more than just the element of water.
I wasn't being washed. What was happening there is I was being introduced to the marine kingdom. There is a kingdom. The devil has different departments. There's kingdoms in caves. There's kingdoms in waters. There's kingdoms on mountains. Of the devil, in this earth, the enemy presents himself according to how he'll be able to best lure us. And he did that to me by telling me I need cleansing. But I wasn't being cleansed. I was actually being filthified. The covering of God needed to be taken away from me so that I give myself to the marine kingdom. When they called on that deity, I couldn't see her with my eyes, but she was
there. Something happened.
Something happened.
In the spirit, which was tangible.
And
you got healed, didn't you?
I received the healing through being ukaba. I don't know what it's called in English, but when they make incisions on your body with muti, when they give you muti to drink, when they give you muti to put on your body, the same way you would lotion, what that does is it gives you a different smell so that these demons can be able to have access to you. It's opening a door.
So once again, it worked.
It works.
That the leg got healed. And that's where people always go to. Like I said before, if it works, then this surely is good. And like you said before, just because it works doesn't mean that the spirits are right.
Yes. And here's another thing about it. It works, but it's temporary. Because what it does is, you see, Christ's healing, number one, is for free, and it truly sets free. But when one gets healed through a witch doctor or a sangoma, remember, when a person sits down with a sangoma, the sangoma has their own deities that they speak to, whether it be a snake, a doboloshi, or whatever evil force that they get their powers from. When one sits and submits to the particular witch doctor or sangoma, they are also actually submitting to all those other spirits that come behind the sangoma. And when they say vumani bo siyavuma, agree, because you have to agree with your mouth. They tell you something and you must agree. You actually at that point are joining forces, your spirit to the spirit of whatever power they get it from. So there's a bond between the sangoma and the so-called the person who wants their healing. And what that happens is, now you will have more dreams and you will start seeing more visions. And that's when these spirits will start guiding you to say, now you need to go and ask for this. Now you need to go ask for that. And the more you do that, when you put your money down, that's your treasure, that's your spirit. You are joining yourself to these evil forces. They then have direct access to you. That's how I could be woken up in the middle of the night and hear drums. That's how I could be told from Johannesburg, go to Wandanyezi and do A, B, and C.
That brings me all this issue of seeing and hearing and all that. People talk about the calling. Is that the calling?
Yes, and the calling.
And people say, I have to respond to this because I'm hearing this. I didn't plan it. I'm not the one that...
And people are really convinced.
I'm not the one because they're hearing things. Like you said, you can hear the drums. You can see things.
And it's real.
It's real.
It's real.
These are the ancestors calling me. It's time for me to respond to the calling. Speaking to that.
That call is a true call, but the only way it can happen is if you move away from God. You see, anytime you move away from the presence of God, you are automatically...
You open yourself.
This is God, this is evil. When you move from the presence of God, you join with this one. And every evil has agents, living agents. Just like today, I am a representative of Christ because I'm speaking about Jesus Christ, whom I have seen, whom I know. Agents of the devil are people who have been appointed by the enemy in order to direct people. Like me, it took a human being to say, let me take you to such and such. And when you go there,
you open that portal. This calling is a calling away from God. It's not a calling towards your ancestors. We are actually being called away from our God, our creator. You see, we were created by one God, all of us, believers and non-believers. Even Satanists were created by God. But they made a choice to move away from God and into the devil.
I love how you put it. It's a call away from the living
God. It's a call away from a living God.
It's
and into the
demons,
dead. By demons.
Who masquerade themselves as ancestors.
Ancestors. And they're not ancestors. They are familiar spirits who present themselves as angel of light. I feel sorry for my brothers and sisters who are in Sangoma practice, because I met a lot of them, and deep down they're good people, but they're deceived. They are lost and their faith is no longer in God. They are so desperate for a good life, for healing, and for just peace, that they unfortunately are deceived to move away from the Prince of Peace. There is so much slavery in being trained to become a Sangoma. There's so much pain that this call comes with. That's why people become desperate.
So it's a pressure to push you into a place. You spoke about fear. There's also the element of fear. If I don't do this, something will happen.
I was told, if I don't do it, I'm going to go crazy. If I don't do it, I'm going to lose my children. And what did the devil play on? I had already buried my grandmothers, my grandfathers. I had already buried my mother, my father. I buried my older and my younger brother. My entire family of Mukhetis, my immediate family, that is. I had buried them one by one, and with each coffin that we had to lower, a part of my faith was lowered. That was my first mistake. I did not allow God to be God even in death. I grieved more than I should have believed. I should have asked God, Father, why? What is happening? Instead of going closer to God with grief, I moved away from God. The devil uses grief. The devil uses lack. The devil uses desperation. And he uses pain in order to have access to us. When we take our pain to God, we will have healing. But when we move away from God because of pain, we are allowing the devil to have access to us. But because the devil is cunning and he's an ugly being, he does not come as he is. He disguises himself as something that you would accept. He presents something that you desperately need. And you go to him because, you know what? I actually don't care. I just want to be well. But what we miss at that moment is that this disease, this pain that I'm feeling, the only reason I'm still feeling it is because I haven't taken it to God. The only reason I'm not able to accept my situation is because I do not want to accept God's will.
You know what we're going to do, Tabi? So I'm going to stop you at that point. We're going to continue from here next week.
Okay.
So that I want to give you a space to just pour out all that's in your heart. And so we're stopping from where we stopped this week. But please be sure to tune in next week as Tabiso continues this passionate story of his journey through darkness back into light. Thank you so much, Tabiso.
Thank you for having me, King. And yes, we'll carry on again.